Welcome back to the Irresistible You podcast. This is episode 213. And today I am going to be giving my thoughts and opinions on the recent Oprah special that was called or is called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. I watched this over the weekend and I knew I had to share my thoughts with you guys because it's so tied into what I talk about here on the podcast and so relevant. And we're going to just get into it. I'm going to share my thoughts, my opinions, what I thought was good, what I thought was bad, what could be better. So if you're planning on watching it and you don't want any spoilers, you've been warned. From here on out, I'm going to just share everything I need to share in terms of that. So first and foremost, and excuse my voice, all the allergies, all the sickness, we were all sick last week. I feel fine now, but I'm like still have like the remnants of the sick. So I'm getting better. But first and foremost, I love Oprah. I'm a big fan of Oprah. I have always felt a connection to her journey with weight and the yo-yo dieting and, you know, just her being, you know, shamed for her body and always being a topic of discussion. I've always felt a connection to her in that way. And also, this special was really to talk about GLP-1 injections, which is the weight loss medication that you are hearing about pretty much everywhere you turn. So if you're familiar with the terms, there are the medications Mounjaro, Zepbound, Wegovy, and Ozempic. That's what we're talking about here. Those are the prescription branded injections. There are also compounded injections, which are the main ingredient in those brands, but they're made through a compounding pharmacy. So that's semaglutide and tirzepatide. I am personally on tirzepatide injections, and I share more about that journey and how that's going and my weight loss in my 10 pounds, 10 times series, which is right here on the podcast as well. So, you know, I was extremely excited to watch this, to see what it was all about. And just to give my overall opinion, and then I'll get into the weeds and the details of it. But I wanted to walk away feeling extremely moved, touched, an emotional connection to what was being talked about. And I did to an extent, okay? But overall, I kind of walked away feeling a little underwhelmed by the content. So what I loved about it. So let's just say, you know, first and foremost with this, I'm thankful that, number one, the discussion is even being had in the first place. Oprah has a massive platform. You know, there's the Oprah effect. She, you know, garners a lot of attention. When she speaks, people listen. And so for her to be having this discussion, I think is huge, and it's going to open the doors to accessibility and education in a lot of ways around these medications. So I appreciate that it's being had. And it's not just about the medications. And I'm going to get into really like kind of what else is being talked about in this special. So, you know, I'm grateful for that it's opening that door as well. Oprah is also on these injections. I believe she's on Ozempic. I'm not 100% sure which one. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, she started out the special by kind of just going over how she's always been shamed publicly for her weight. And I can't even imagine what that's like I can't even imagine, number one, what it's like to be at her level of fame and success and all the things, but like at that level of shame. I know what it felt like as a young person in school to be bullied and shamed for my weight, to be treated differently because of my weight, you know, even as an adult. And I can't even imagine what that must have been like or is still like to have your face and your body plastered across these magazines and just these disgusting, vile things that are being said about you when you have this internal struggle that you've been dealing with your entire life, that you are desperate to change, that you just want more than anything. And to be one of the most successful women in the world and to still have this weight thing hanging over you and people shaming you and blaming you and, you know, making up all the reasons why you're never going to be able to do it and why you keep gaining weight. Like, I can't even imagine how hard that has to be. And I think a lot of us can sometimes brush off celebrities as if they don't have feelings, because it's like, well, what the hell do they have to complain about, right? Like, you're a billionaire, you're rich, you can have whatever you want, like, get over yourself. But, you know, at the end of the day, these are still people. And so she talked a little bit about and showed some of the headlines that had happened and what she was going through at the time when these things aired, you know. And we all know Oprah's story, how she's been on every diet, she's tried all the things, she came on to Weight Watchers, you know, on the board, and she's done it all. And I think all of us that have been chronic yo-yo dieters and emotional eaters, we can relate to a lot, if not all, of her story, right? And so she talked a lot about that. And I've always related to that. So I always appreciate that story. And it was just, that was really well done. And then she had a woman come on, and I think her name was Amy actually, who got on these injections, had been overweight her whole life. Like, just, you know, the story that we all have about how weight has played a role in her life, how she was depressed and she was miserable, and how she finally got on these injections and everything changed for her. And she's now, you know, she was diagnosed type 2 diabetes. Now all her numbers are normal. She's healthy. She's in a healthy weight range. And I always enjoy and appreciate the validation and hearing someone else's story with weight, because I always see myself in those stories. Maybe it's not the whole story, but, you know, bits and pieces of it. So I appreciated that they had her come on and talk about that. And they talked about the injections and the medication and how, you know, she's able to eat things, but she doesn't have to eat the whole thing, and how she can finally eat like a normal person. And I think for me too, the medications, that's what it's really about. It's making me feel normal in the sense that, yes, I still have to have these inner conversations about food and making decisions and, you know, not overdoing it here and there, but it has really taken the edge off as far as, you know, just that chronic, constant food chatter. And you're going to hear that phrase used a lot, the food chatter. And it's funny because I always say the inner fat bitch chatter, right, in the podcast. And when I say the inner fat bitch chatter, I really mean the inner voice that's beating you up, that's calling you names, that's shaming and blaming yourself. The food chatter is just, I mean, how many of you have almost like a running calculator, an adding machine that's in your brain every time you see food? That as soon as you see food, you're automatically counting how many calories is that, how many carbs, how many points, and how many servings can I eat, and how much can I gain the system if I have this. Like, you don't realize you're doing it when you've been doing it for so long. And so personally, and they talked about this, like Oprah said, I'm still gonna have, and we all know Oprah loves her bread, right? Like, she talked about, she still eats her bagel, but she's only eating half the bagel. And when you're on Weight Watchers or a diet plan, can you eat half the bagel? Yes. But then you have that awful food chatter, just almost like a magnet bringing you back to get the other half, go back and get it. You know you want it. It's only going to be this many points. It's only this many calories. You better go get it. And then when you get it, the inner fat bitch comes in with the shame and blame. Oh my God, I can't believe you ate that. I knew it. Like, you just can't control yourself. Look at you. And so they talked about that, how it's really curbing that food chatter and that just constant thinking about food, how normal people who don't deal with obesity, they don't have to deal with that. And I talked to my husband, and I watched it together. And so my husband has also been on the injections as well. So from the time of taking the injections, I am nearing about a 20 pound loss. I'm down almost, I'm actually over 50, my grand total for my weight loss journey this time, but about 20 since the injections, and he's down 60. Like, go figure, whatever, men and their weight loss. But he was saying, he's like, when you talk about the food chatter, I really don't know what you're talking about. You know, he just found himself overweight. Honestly, he's eaten the same way he always has. I think age, it number one, it caught up to him. He was eating a lot of like fast food and junk, like in that sense, like unhealthy things and a lot of it. So for him, it wasn't emotional. It wasn't overeating because of emotions or binging. It was just, you know, not really paying attention, I guess. And it's been super easy for him. Like, he's already at his goal weight, like, looks amazing, doing really well, in maintenance phase. And here I am. Here I am. But no, if I think about my overall journey with this, I'm still down 50 plus pounds, right, from the time I started, which I'm taking that from my highest weight at Javi's delivery, okay? So here we are, and, you know, they're talking about that, and then they also had this mom come on and tell the story of her daughter, who's a minor. She's underage. She's a teenager, and how she's been overweight basically since birth, like, you know, pretty extremely overweight, and how nothing was working. She ended up having weight loss surgery, and these medications, the four that I named and the compounds, they are not approved. They're not FDA approved for people under 18. However, there is another injection, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but her daughter is on this injection, and that has been helping her maintain and lose from the weight loss surgery. And she looks amazing. And, you know, it got into, you know, this is a controversial topic to put children on these things. Like, is this the wrong or right thing? And I love what the mom said was that she said, what do you say to people that, you know, would say something negative? And she's like, well, try walking in our shoes. And I think that right there is the epitome of this conversation. I have heard nasty things about people on the injections. I've heard nasty things about people that have had weight loss surgery, people that have had loose skin removal surgery. And I think weight loss and your body is such a personal, it's a personal topic. It is deeply like, it is deeply structured to the individual that's going through it. And I don't believe there's a one size fits all solution necessarily when it comes to what's, you know, people say, well, I lost it the right way. You know, you're taking the easy way out. And to that I say, in weight loss, there is no easy way out. To the person who's having their stomach cut open and having their stomach reduced in size, that is not an easy way out. That recovery, that long-term maintenance, that is not the easy way out. To the person who is taking GLP-1 medications by injection, that is not the easy way out to inject yourself every single week to deal with, you know, sometimes the side effects that come along with that. Just because you're on injections doesn't mean everything just magically goes away. You still have to lead a healthy lifestyle, eat in moderation, be mindful of what's going in your mouth. to the person who's just doing diet and exercise, eat less, move more. That is definitely not an easy way out. You know, so weight and body image is wrapped up in so much guilt and shame and blame. And no one gets to decide what's best for you or what's best for someone else. The only person who gets to decide what that decision is you. You know, and so I personally, I don't care. I don't give a crap about what anyone says. I don't care what any opinions may be about me. There was something nasty said about me in my private Facebook group, you know, and that doesn't affect me because I know my path. I know what I have tried. I know what I have been through. I know the work I have put in on the self-love, confidence, and body image journey. And I know what's going to work best for me and my body. And that is my decision and my decision only. And here's the other thing I want to say to you. You are entitled at any time on your journey to decide, I don't want to do it this way anymore. You know, people think that just because they're doing it their quote unquote right way by diet and exercise, if they come forward and now want to be on injections or pills or, you know, we're talking prescription pills, prescription injections or surgery, that somehow they're letting other people down or they're now a traitor or they're now a hypocrite. You get to decide at any point as new tools and resources become available at your disposal, you get to decide, I don't want to do it this way anymore. And that's exactly what I did. I came on very candidly in my podcast, you know, less than a year ago, and I shared how nothing was working anymore. You know, the inner talk that I'm doing is not helping because even when I'm eating less and I'm counting points and I'm making healthy choices, the scale was going up. There's something biologically wrong that's not working correctly in my body. And just because it worked a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, doesn't mean it's going to work now when you're at a different age. And so I needed to do something medically and biologically to change that course for myself. And I don't care who has a problem with that because you're not walking in my shoes. You don't wear my jeans. You don't have to go fit into my jeans, honey. So you don't get to make that decision for me. You can have your opinion, but you don't get to be nasty about it. You keep your nastiness to yourself. So for those of you that are considering these different options and you're afraid of what family and friends are going to think, just remember, they don't live inside your skin. They don't have to live the way you live. So you have to do what you got to do to get right with yourself, okay? And so, you know, whether that's your child or yourself, you're going to make the best decision for you or for them. And to that mother also, like, you know, I don't shame or blame her for anything. Like, your daughter, like, they basically told her, like, you're going to die. If you continue at this path, like, she was severely overweight, like, you are going to die. That is not a way to live. Okay. So I did like the stories that they were sharing. I thought that was great. You know, there's always validation for all of us to hear how other people are doing. Okay. So then she started to have other guests on the show. One of the guests that was there is the CEO of Weight Watchers. Well, Oprah made a statement during the special that said she stepped down from the board of Weight Watchers and sold and donated all of her shares specifically so that she could do this special without any bias. You know, I don't know, you know, we all know big corporate, we all know how things go. I don't really know the ins and outs of that, but at face level, let's just, you know, we'll take it at that. So the CEO of Weight Watchers was there. And for those of you that don't know, Weight Watchers recently purchased a weight loss medication company that specializes in GLP-1 injections. And it is now can be part of your plan to have that coincide with your, you know, your Weight Watchers plan. And they asked them, you know, because there's been a lot of backlash to Weight Watchers. Like, you've been preaching all this for all these years, like, you know, eating in moderation and making a lifestyle change. And now you're pushing the injections, right? You're selling out. That's what people have been saying. And I don't agree with that. And the CEO said, we realized that we were missing one piece of the prong, and that is the biology. And it goes back to what I just said about your decisions personally. Companies also have to grow with the times and the research. We now have the research. We have these things. And people think that these medications, like the myths out there that I hear, the misconceptions are so uneducated. They think these things just came out of the woodwork, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. They've been in the works for 20 years, okay? And so I think it's very smart from a business standpoint. I think it's very smart from just wanting the best for their customer standpoint for Weight Watchers to take this into their realm. And I think it's a huge statement. I think it's a huge, it's very bold. And I commend them for that, you know, because as we learn more, we get better at what we're doing. And I think Weight Watchers, especially over the last, 10 to 15 years, has really made it about that lifestyle change. And I will always give credit to Weight Watchers for teaching me how to eat in moderation, how to make better choices. I learned a lot through them. And so I also like that they're taking accountability. You know, they didn't come right out and say we've let people down, but they kind of did. Or they said, you know, to all the people that, you know, walked with us and did the plan and walked away and didn't have success, she said, to you, we want to say it's not your fault. You know, so admitting out loud, which is huge, that just doing Weight Watchers alone sometimes isn't the only solution, right? There's a biological component that some people need. And when I say some people, I need to back up and I need to explain another piece of this that I don't think I've really stated yet. And one big piece of the show was, you know, coming forward and saying, you know, that obesity is a clinically diagnosed disease. I don't know, you know, I knew that. They said it was declared a disease over 10 years ago, so that wasn't always the case. And I think we still have a long way to go because clearly the insurance companies, they don't recognize it. Oh, they love to say obesity is a disease, right? They love to say it. Because they love to say comorbidities with obesity is type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, and so forth. But they never do a good job covering prescription medication specifically for obesity. And I'm going to get into that in just a second and my experience with it as well. So they had two experts there, medical experts, doctors, one from the Cleveland Clinic and one from Cedars-Sinai. So the Cleveland Clinic doctor, he, you know, really specializes in obesity and understanding it as a disease, where the other doctor, yes, she specializes in obesity, but her point of expertise, if you will, was to talk about these medications as it relates to obesity. So, you know, he said something that was, you know, you hear things, but sometimes it doesn't click or whatever. But basically, we've identified through science and research that our brain controls our body fat, our food intake, and our metabolism. And so when you have obesity, there is a dysfunction of this regulatory system. And so you have this higher weight set point, okay? So let's say your high weight set point is 230. and you're trying to lose weight, and you know, you're as you're losing weight, you're miserable, right? You're hungry, you're craving, you're just, you're holding on like with sweaty palms, trying to do the best you can to get this weight off, but nothing's working. You can get it off, but he had the best analogy I've ever heard, that when you're doing it this way, it is like holding your breath underwater. You can hold your breath underwater for a while, for a small period of time, but eventually you're going to come up gasping for air. And that is exactly how it's always felt through the desperate dieting, the desperate weight loss journeys, the desperate diet plans. Like, I can get the weight off for a little bit, but then we come up gasping for air. Okay. So, and his thing was saying, like, when you do that, you're always going to go back to your higher weight set point, because that's where your body feels comfortable, because your brain is controlling the adipose, the fat, the food intake, and the metabolism. And that was so, I will say that was a big like, whoa, as I heard that, because I never really heard it said in that way. So then the other doctor, she came in and she talked specifically about, you know, we know obesity is a disease, and we know that the GLP-1 injections are addressing this specific problem. So I'm not going to get into all the science because I know I'll mess it up, but the high level is that the GLP-1 is a naturally occurring hormone that is produced in the body, in the gut, and it communicates to the gut in the brain. So the short version of this is that when you are taking a GLP-1 injection, regardless of which one I named, whether it's a compound or a name brand FDA-approved prescription from one of the big pharma companies, it is copying the body's normal process. However, it's doing it better, because when you have obesity as a disease, your body's not doing it correctly. Okay. And so what it does is this medication is working on your brain to stop and reduce the food noise, the food chatter. It is also slowing digestion in the gut so that you're feeling full faster and longer. And as someone who is on tirzepatide, I will tell you that is absolutely the case. The food noise has been reduced. And I feel I cannot finish most meals when I'm on the injection. I eat less because I feel full already. Do not mistake the fact that you still have to be in tuned to your body. These injections, and I tell from experience, you're not going to get injected and just magically like eat like a normal, healthy, skinny person. You still have to put the work in on how you speak to yourself, how you think about yourself, how you respect yourself, and listening to your body. Because there's been times when I've been so hungry, and you know when you're really hungry, you just eat fast. And I'm like, oh my God, like I am so bloated and full. I shouldn't have done that because I wasn't listening. Okay. So you still have to practice a lot of the things here that we talk about on the podcast through the Irresistible You framework. That is absolutely required. Absolutely. So, you know, she talked about that. Then they kind of got into a little bit of the side effects, and they had a few people talk about that, like that experienced some of the side effects. Now, a lot of the side effects, they're minor to moderate. I will tell you, I have not had major side effects at all. Maybe a little bit of nausea the first day, a little bit of stomach upset, but nothing that has been, you know, life-changing or life-stopping by any means, where there was someone that came on that had to stop because she had such bad nausea. Now, or stomach pain, whatever. They did ask the doctor about this, and I felt she was a little flippant about like her response. Like, definitely trying to sell big, you know, yes, they are doctors. Yes, they are associated with big, massive clinics that we're all aware of. And we all know that the big clinics that do the research are in bed with the big pharma. We all know it. I'm not getting into that. So I take it with a grain of salt, some of what's being said. And I think, and what I mean by that is how she kind of brushed over some of the side effects, just kind of saying it, you know, they're just minor and this and that. And we haven't really seen this in humans, which some of the ones where they say like thyroid cancer, there's been no cases of that in humans. I believe in research trials with rats, there was maybe an instance, but anyway, I thought that was kind of glossed over a little bit, which is what left a little bit of a weird taste in my mouth at the end. And as I'm talking through it, I actually am changing my opinion a little bit more on the show, that I think I got a little bit more out of it than I gave credit to at the beginning. But keeping in mind, I am definitely someone who has a jaded perspective when it comes to big pharma and when it comes to the medical community and the insurance companies, okay? We all know they're in bed together. We all know that they are here to make profits. They don't care about your health. And so to come on and act like all the, it's just, you know, we know. So they had those people there, and then they had two other speakers. And that was senior vice presidents for Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. So for those of you that don't know, Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk are the two pharmaceutical manufacturing companies for Zepbound, Mounjaro, Ozempic, and Wegovy, okay? I am very familiar with those two companies because they're also the producers of insulin. And there are only, I believe they're the only two. There might be three total manufacturers of insulin that we have. So as I have become a mother of a daughter with type 1 diabetes over the last 3 years, I am very familiar with both of these companies. My daughter's insulin is manufactured by Eli Lilly. So I keep up with a lot of things with these companies. So, and when I say I'm jaded, you know, let's look at insulin. Let's get into that. Accessibility, the cost, like, you know, not to derail too much, but the inventor of insulin sold the patent for $1. Because he wanted everyone that needs access to this life-saving drug that would literally die without it to have access. And now in this day and age, the insane greed and the lives that have been lost because of accessibility problems financially. And it's just wrong. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. I'm thankful through our insurance, you know, I pay $45 every 3 months for my daughter's insulin because it was capped recently. That's why. The retail price of it is $300 to $500 for her dosing. Anyway, I digress. And then I'm going to get also into why this matters, because we're seeing the same, you know, highway robbery with these obesity medications. So and I thought that this part kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because the two pharma women were only on camera for a very short time. It might have been a minute or two. And they basically got cut off, I felt like, when they said, you know, the insurance companies aren't recognizing obesity as a disease and accessibility is a problem. Yes, and that is a bigger conversation that needs to be had, because there's a lot of issues here, okay? Number one, insurance companies are not recognizing obesity as a disease, which has caused extreme issues with people getting this medication approved through their insurance. And if you do get approved, you've got to get prior authorization, and it's this whole process. Yes, I have been through it. And even with the prior authorizations that got processed, the prior authorizations have been approved, and they did this for me for every single medication to see what we could get done, okay? And I'm going to get into, I work with a telehealth company that is now where I'm getting my compounded prescription, but it's also where they work with you to help you get these prior auths pushed through. So it's a fantastic service. I will link it down below. It's called Mochi Health. If you're interested, you get $40 off your monthly subscription. I'll put that down in the show notes for you guys. So all of mine got my, so I can't remember which ones. I would have to go back and look. Some of the medications did not get approved. The ones that did, that got the prior auth pushed through, that's all good and well. But then they're at such a top tier of your insurance plan that to pick up that medication, you're talking $500, $1,000 plus dollars a month. And we're not doing that. I can't afford that. I can't afford to maintain that. You know, and so it makes it this thing that's not accessible to every person. Some people have been approved, have gotten it down to 25 to 50. I don't, honestly, guys, I don't know how they're doing it. I really don't. I really want to dive into that more so I can start to save more money in that respect. But, you know, there's a lot of issues around insurance and accessibility, and it needs to change. And I think there's some pushback on that too, because if all these people are losing their weight, what happens when we lose weight? Our numbers go down, blood sugar regulates, blood pressure comes down, heart issues go away, you know, mobility issues go away. And what also goes away? Other medications you might need, other doctor visits you might need, you know, and it's really sad. And I say that because I also see it in the diabetic community. With type 1 diabetes, there's millions and billions of dollars of research that have been going on for years. You know, I'm 3 years into it almost, and I've been hearing the cure is coming. There's this, there's that, there's this, and I've seen advancements. They're here. But I really believe things could be getting done faster than they are, and there's a reason why they're delayed, okay? And it's called greed. So I wish they would have talked more about that. And I think as much as I love Oprah, when it comes to the cost, she of course is completely out of touch. She's a billionaire. You know, she doesn't understand what us regular people go through and how we have to jump through hoops to get approved and get this filed and this paperwork to only be told that's going to be $1,000. Okay. So let's say you're like, fine, I'm going to pay that money. I'm going to pay that $1,000 copay. All right. You roll up to CVS, you know, I'm here to, you know, pick up my prescription. Oh, we don't have it. So there's been a massive shortage of the medications because of the demand. There's been a huge, huge demand. So, you know, I think that as time goes on, and this is now, and this is why I appreciate the show, because I think it's going to get more press, more, you know, the squeaky wheel syndrome, right? And I think as more time goes on, it's going to change the conversation. It's going to change the insurance to where, yes, obesity is a disease. It doesn't mean you're lazy. It doesn't mean you're a loser. It doesn't mean you have no willpower. It doesn't mean any of those things. You know, and so I think that will change over time, but we still have a long ways to go. And so what I have done in the meantime is, and we went through the same thing with Frank's, and when we had the same insurance plan, but he went to get these things way before I was even interested, because I was on the fence for a long time, and the same thing. And so, you know, so there's also another alternative. You have these compounding pharmacies who came forward. They are safe. They are completely, I mean, I have no issue with it whatsoever. You know, do your research and who you're going with. But like I told you, I use Mochi Health. It's a telehealth company. They then get the prescription from a, you know, trusted, you know, certified pharmacy and what have you. And that's a compounded version. So the ones that I'm on is tirzepatide. Tirzepatide is Mounjaro. Mounjaro is tirzepatide. That is the active ingredient. Now, I don't know, you know, apples to apples, what if there's like a, like if I were to go on name brand, is it going to do a massive difference? People are having success on both. So, you know, Do your research. There are amazing Facebook groups out there about these injections. I'm in a lot of them. A lot of things to learn, a lot of things to source from other people. And I think, you know, just like anything, you can't make this decision lightly. You have to decide if it's right for you and if it's something you want to do. And to know that if your insurance isn't going to cover, it is going to be an investment. This is not, you know, this is not cheap by any means. So I walked away just a couple of thoughts here. I had kind of the meh, you know, I was a little underwhelmed. I expected something a little better. I don't know quite what that was, but I think what left a kind of meh taste in my mouth is I said, okay, I don't know what the intention was here, but here's how it went down. They had medical experts to come and say, yes, obesity is a declared disease. It's an actual diagnosable disease. This is how it works. We had people come forward that said, I've tried everything. Nothing works. I got on GLP-1. I've been able to lose the weight. So having doctors come on to validate, to back that up, this is how they work. Yes, they're very effective, this and that. Then you have the big pharma saying we have an accessibility issue, and we kind of end at that, really, truly. So was this a big pharma marketing thing? Is this an awareness thing? I don't know what the real intention was behind it. We all know Oprah's going to have her claws in different things financially. So I don't know what the ultimate purpose really is. And I know she has a very personal connection to it. So I don't know that it's all necessarily business driven. I think there's a little bit of A and a little bit of B. So I think that was kind of my thing, was like, you know, and the medical people were a little bit disingenuous to me, like a little bit fake, a little bit like, I don't know. Like, it was just, anyway, watch it, form your own opinion. I know there's an after show. I didn't realize that when I watched it. I'm going to go back and watch that, and maybe I'll do another episode where I give my thoughts and opinions on that. But again, you know, just to sum, oh, so Oprah ended the show, and I really liked how she closed the show on this. She said, to those of you that are having success and are on the medication, bless you, you know, and to those of you that are just doing it with diet and exercise and think that's the only way, bless you. And to those of you that are living in a bigger body and don't want to do any of the above, bless you as well. There is room for all of us. There is room for every opinion. You know, there's room for all of it. And I agree with that as well, because again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning, is I think weight and weight loss is an extremely personal decision topic. You know, you've got to work with yourself and your medical team and decide what's going to be the best decision for you. And also know that there is no easy decision. There's no easy way out of a fat body. There is no easy way out of a fat body, because even when you get out of the physically fat body, your work is not done. You have to maintain that way of life. You have to maintain a healthy way of eating, a healthy mindset. You have to regulate your emotions. You have to lose your emotional weight. You have to work on yourself. You have to find self-love and confidence in order to stay where you are, truly. So, you know, I think this conversation is great in the fact that, you know, yes, we know there's a biological component. There's also an emotional component. And I don't feel like that's always talked about. I feel like that's always left out of the equation. And so it was good overall. I'm grateful for the discussion. I hope that you're able to check it out and let me know what you're thinking. And I'm going to share this week on 10 pounds, 10 times. You guys, I don't want to give too much away, but I am very excited, energized, motivated by this week's results. I think you probably know where that's going by me saying that. I went up in my dose recently, and it was like the lights came on. This medication, yes, I have noticed it. I have been feeling it. I haven't lost a ton of weight. I've been maintaining a lot. But let me tell you something. I had blood work done last week, and I was floored. I was floored by my numbers. So we have to remember that these medications are not just working on the weight. They're working on our inner body and our organs and our levels. And I was floored when I saw some of my numbers in a good way. Okay. So I'm going to share that with you this week. I have a renewed sense of hope because I was actually kind of getting to the point where I'm like, is this ever going to really like take off for me? Like truly take off the way I've seen it take off for other people. And I'll get into, I don't want to give it away. I'm going to get into that in another episode. It'll be on 10 pounds, 10 times, but I'm going to wrap up here. I hope this episode was inspiring in some way. I hope you gained or gleaned something out of it throughout the 45 minutes I've been rambling. And if you want to reconnect with me, you can do that over on Instagram. My name is at Irresistible Icing. You can message me there. Let me know if you have questions. Let me know how you're doing or if you just want to say hi. So thank you so much for listening. Until the next time, stay irresistible. Bye, guys.